Our study tonight is out of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 43 to 66. The believer's prayer amid God's discipline. In times of spiritual failure, followed by God's discipline, the believer is ripe to learn from his failure, what constitutes the burden of the prophet Jeremiah in the book of Lamentations. Lamentations 3, 43 to 66, the third part of Jeremiah's third dirge on Jerusalem's fall, expresses the believer's prayer amid God's discipline, informing us how to pray in such a situation so we can view it for our insight. I'd like to read the verses first, and then we'll look at it. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 43 through 66. Jeremiah is praying to God, and he says, "Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain and hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayer should not pass through. Thou hast made us as the offscouring and the refuse in the midst of the people. All our enemies have opened their mouths against us. Fear and a snare has come upon us, desolation and destruction. Mine eye runneth down with rivers of water for the destruction of the daughter of my people. Mine eye trickleth down and seeth us not without any intermission, till the Lord look down and behold from heaven. Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Mine enemies chased me sore like a bird without cause. They have cut off my life in the dungeon and cast a stone upon me. Waters flowed over my head, then I said, I am cut off. I called upon thy name, O Lord, out of the low dungeon. Thou hast heard my voice. Hide not thou thine ear at my breathing, at my cry. Thou drewest near in the day that I called upon thee. Thou saidest, fear not. O Lord, thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. O Lord, thou hast seen my wrong. Judge thou my cause. Thou hast seen all their vengeance and all their imaginations against me. Thou hast heard their reproach, O Lord, and all their imaginations against me, the lips of those that rose up against me and their device against me all the day. Behold, they're sitting down and they're rising up. I am their music. Render unto them recompense, O Lord, according to the work of their hands. Give them sorrow of heart. Thy curse unto them. Persecute and destroy them in anger from under the heavens of the Lord." All right. The believer's prayer amid God's discipline. First, Jeremiah acknowledged to God in prayer that the nation was suffering his discipline. He noted that God had figuratively wrapped himself with anger and pursued Judah's people, killing them without pity and also wrapping himself in a cloud so that no prayer would pass through to him. It's interesting. This goes along with one of the Psalms where it says, "If I regard or if I shelter iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And Israel and Judah at this particular point in their lives, in their history, had sinned. So God wasn't answering their prayers, and he wouldn't until they confessed their sin. Judah's people had also suffered humiliation and intimidation before their foes. This is part of the discipline of the Lord. Jeremiah acknowledged the destruction and grief that Judah's people had suffered in God's discipline. Nevertheless, Jeremiah exampled how Judah's people were to pray until God responded. In verses 49 and 50, he claimed that his eyes would flow with tears without ceasing until the Lord responds. This is why Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. He wept a lot. And, of course, his heart was broken at this particular time with the destruction of Jerusalem. Those tears would rise from grief at the fate of the beloved people of his city. Jeremiah then expressed his awareness of the Lord's response to his people's prayer in verses 52 to 63. God's prophet claimed that though Judah's people had been hunted like a bird by enemies without cause and nearly destroyed him, he'd called on the Lord, like Jeremiah desired Judah's people to call on the Lord, and God had heard him from the depths of despair. It was a wonderful thing when a believer is under discipline, and he calls unto the Lord, he confesses his sin, the Lord will hear him. It's a wonderful truth. Accordingly, he urged the Lord not to close his ear to his people's cry for help in verse 56b. God would then come near when they called upon him, and the Lord would say, "Do not fear." Incidentally, that's always a refreshing thing when you get an answer from prayer to the Lord. When you've prayed unto him, you've confessed your sin, and the Lord comes through with an answer. And it's an encouragement. I've heard you. I am taking care of it. As personified in Jeremiah's words, God's people could then voice their petition in verses 58 to 63. First, they could acknowledge the fact that God had taken up their cause and redeemed their lives. In verse 59, they could express assurance that God had seen the wrong that had been done to them and judged their cause. Now, it's interesting. God had used enemies to punish them, but the way the enemies went about it and the attitude with which they went about it was wrong. So God was going to judge the enemies. I remember the prophet Habakkuk, when he found out from the Lord that God was going to judge his people with Babylon, Habakkuk was upset. He says, "Why? How are you going to use people that are more wicked than your people to punish your people?" And God came back with an answer. "I know how wicked the Babylonians are. I will get them. First of all, I'm going to use them to punish my people, and then I will punish the Babylonians." There's a principle in Scripture that says when judgment starts, it always starts at the house of God. God always starts the judgment with believers, and then he moves out to the unsaved world. The unsaved world doesn't know what it's going to get yet, but we as believers often get the discipline from the Lord quite soon. In fact, as we mature in the Lord, God holds us with a shorter and shorter leash, so the discipline is sharper and faster. So, because to whom much is given, much is required. And that's the principle. But anyway, they could express assurance that God had seen the wrong done to them and judged their cause. And they could note how God had seen all their enemies' vengeance and plots against them and all their taunts and plots as well. In verses 62 to 63, this matter of taunts was especially painful to handle. So Jeremiah expressed how God's people who realized God was hearing their prayer would fully acknowledge them so as to punish them. We don't, in our culture here in the United States, we don't appreciate the pain that is involved in taunting. In an Oriental culture, verbally to humiliate another person by taunting them is almost as bad as death. It's a horrible thing in that culture. And Jeremiah is expressing this. They had faced the taunts from the people. You know, it's one thing to suffer at the sword. It's one thing to suffer famine and all that. But to suffer taunts is extremely painful in the Middle East. Finally, Jeremiah asked God to administer vengeance on Judah's Gentiles and on their foes who administered cruel acts as agents of divine discipline in keeping with the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis 12:3. It's interesting. Jeremiah never mentions the Abrahamic covenant in this section of Lamentations, but that's never far from his mind. God has a covenant to keep with his people. His people have sinned, but God has promised he will curse those who curse his people and bless those who bless his people. They've faced the cursings of the Babylonians, so the Babylonians are going to get it. The Abrahamic covenant promised that God would curse those who cursed Abram's seed in Genesis 12:3, so Judah's people, who realized God was hearing their prayer, were to express their confidence that God would administer just vengeance on their foes who had badly mistreated them. God would thus administer dullness of with this curse being upon them. Sorry about that. I'm going to have to correct that. That's verse 65, and then verse 66. Indeed, Jeremiah expressed his confidence that the Lord would pursue Judah's enemies in anger and destroy them from under the heavens. What's interesting is that Babylon was the nation that had taken his people captive, and Babylon would be destroyed and not exist. And Babylon to this day is barren. It's a desert, even though you still have the ruins of the city there. It's a desert. Very few people are even there. But the people of Israel are still in existence, all because of the mercy of God. So the lesson is in voicing their prayer to the Lord. Jeremiah exampled how Judah's people were to acknowledge they were suffering God's just discipline for their sin and to pray their confession of sin until the Lord responded. Then when God responded to their prayer, Judah's people were to acknowledge that divine response and God's comforting promises to help them and his call that they not fear and express their petition that God deal out just vengeance to those who had wronged them. So in application, if we face God's discipline for sin, especially if God uses evil people to administer, may we pray to God acknowledging that he is disciplining us, giving our confession of sin until the Lord signals his response. When we are aware of God's response, may we acknowledge it, finding encouragement that he has responded, and voice the petitions we have for God's dealing with injustices that we have faced. Since Jeremiah did not withhold emotional expression in prayer, but claimed his eyes would flow with tears until the Lord responded, Lamentations 3:49 to 50, may we pray not only respectfully, but candidly to the Lord in prayer. Now it's interesting, God always wants us to show him respect and respect him. But at the same time, he wants us to be honest. I've found out in my own life when there have been issues that have come up and I've prayed with intense emotion. It could be intense emotion of joy, it could be intense emotion of sorrow or anger, whatever. Often when I've expressed that, that's where the Lord has answered the fastest and with the most intensity. He thoroughly enjoys his people being honest with him. There's a wonderful psalm here. Psalm 34, verses 17 and 18 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit." I believe the word contrite is actually crushed. Crushed spirit. That's when a person has gone through an intense suffering and they just hardly have any emotion left to express because they're all out of the emotion. And God is close to those that have a broken heart, close, and saves those that have a crushed spirit. So if that's where the spirit is, go ahead, pray. The Lord understands human suffering. He is a very compassionate God. He is a very long-suffering God. And he will answer.